The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for coming by the show. We're always glad to have you. Today, we're going to be talking about economic development, and we're going to be talking specifically about an agency that some people may know and some people may not know, but there's an agency called the U.S. Economic Development Administration. You can find them at EDA.gov. But they're out here doing some work and trying to really kind of spurt the economy, spur economic development around the nation and get people back to work, get, you know, unique projects funded and everything else. We've got Jay Williams. He is the U.S. Assistant Secretary of the Commerce for Economic Development. He is the one who's in charge of this agency and is working for the president to really push economic development down the pathway and really to get this a success story. Jay, welcome to Fed Access.
Derek, thank you very much. I certainly am happy to be here with you.
Hey, we're happy to have you. Hey, we've been talking about the economy for quite some time. I mean, everybody's been having this as always. If you're watching the news, it's always an issue about the number of jobs that are out there, how the U.S. economy is doing. What's the EDA's role? I mean, tell me about the agency and what you guys' mission is.
Well, Derek, you absolutely, in your introduction, talked about the fact that the economy has been the number one priority of this president, of this administration from day one. And the U.S. Department of Economic Development Administration is really charged with helping to lead the federal economic agenda, to work with local communities to help facilitate and create conditions that those jobs can be created and economies can grow. So we don't create jobs directly. That's not the role of government other than those jobs that are a result of direct employment. But we really help to facilitate conditions on the ground in local communities to assist those communities in being successful.
You know, I know you came from a number of different offices, and you've been working with kind of auto community, auto workers, and a number of different things. You also came as a mayor, you know, working in Youngstown, Ohio, and everything else. What would you say? I mean, kind of, you know, working out of that Midwest and working out. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, so you understand. I know very clearly about the hard times that the Midwest and parts of the country has had. What would you say is right now? Do you feel we're on a bounce back right now?
I very much do, and I would say that my experiences as a mayor, a local official, have been the greatest benefit and I think the greatest asset that I hopefully can bring in working with the Economic Development Administration, because knowing firsthand what it takes to work with local stakeholders to ultimately try to create conditions where that private investment comes, and it's that private investment that ultimately creates jobs. So having been the mayor for almost 6 years of a community that had seen the best of times several decades ago, the worst of times in the not-too-distant past, and then is now very much on the road to recovery, I think it does validate your question as to this economy being in recovery mode. When the president took office, we were facing the greatest economic decline this country had seen outside of the Great Depression, and now, while there's still work to be done, the most recent job reports show that as a result of the determination and the grit of the American people, over 9.9 million new jobs have been added. We have seen economic growth of over 200,000 jobs for six straight months, and that's the longest time that's happened since 1997. Consumer confidence is growing up. We see manufacturing expanding. The auto recovery continues to show strength. So there's still more work to be done. The president is not satisfied. But to answer your question definitively, I do feel, and I think that is evidence is showing, that there is an economic recovery starting to take hold in this country.
You know, as you look at economic development and kind of the dynamics and ever shifting, and you know, you kind of speaking out of Ohio, and I even take it to the Midwest and Michigan and other places like that, where we've seen kind of the auto manufacturer start the recovery. Hopefully we've seen some people, instead of, you know, really outsourcing to, you know, China, India, and other places like that, start to, you know, kind of bring things back home and have those things built here, have customer service centers here and everything else. Do you feel that the economic development now needs to diversify? I mean, you know, is there a dynamic that the Midwest and other places where they may be stuck to manufacturing too hard, do these places now kind of need to take a new economic development plan?
Diversification of the economic environment in local communities remains a priority. And again, I can speak from firsthand, not just from my experience in Youngstown, Ohio, but through my travels throughout the country, particularly in the Midwest, where is an area of the country that has, for many, many years, been heavily invested in manufacturing. And when things were good, we saw the benefits there. And then when the manufacturing downturn happened, 10, 15, 20 years ago, at its peak, we saw what the downsides of that happened to be. So to help those communities and work with those communities to diversify their economic base, still certainly with a significant investment in manufacturing, and we're seeing that still as a positive thing, but also getting into other parts of the economy, technology, information systems, the service industry. All of those things are important parts of making a diverse economic base a part of the fabric of those communities. And those communities that are doing that, we're seeing them accelerate a bit more than those other communities are still finding their way. But to the extent that I've seen places like Youngstown, places, even Detroit, understanding the need to diversify, with the auto industry still being a very part of Detroit's identity,
right.
We are starting to see another number of other entrepreneurs and small businesses really take root in places like Detroit. So that remains a priority, and that's where the Economic Development Administration really shines, is because we're on the ground in those communities assisting with that diversification.
You know, I look at your role, and you guys got a number of different programs. Part of what you guys talk about is strategic investments almost having this flexibility, flexible programs and kind of nimble operations to allow for innovation and everything else. What are some of these programs that you have at your disposal that you can get into, either these cities and other places? What do you have that can start helping some things?
That's a great question, and you're absolutely right. One of the greatest strengths of the Economic Development Administration, first and foremost, are the people, of the staff that we have. But when you get beyond that, it's that flexibility in our programs. We have programs that range from our highly well-known public works program, which mm-hmm. helps with building or rebuilding critical infrastructure, not just infrastructure like roads and sewer lines for industrial parks, which are important, but infrastructure such as broadband to make communities make sure that they're connected to the globalized economy. We also have programs that deal with helping communities become more competitive in a global marketplace, our regional accelerator, jobs accelerators, and jobs and innovation programs. Economic development is a continuum. So for those communities that just need our basic programs of planning and technical assistance in public works, we provide those types of investments. And then those communities that have moved along a continuum and are really into incubators, accelerators, bringing ideas from concept to market, we also provide assistance and tools and investments to those communities. So that flexibility that you talked about is really an asset and a core part of how we want to work with communities on the ground.
You know, I know a lot of cities who say, listen, we don't necessarily have the budget. I'm looking at that kind of public works dynamic. A lot of cities, always say, hey, we're really tight for funds and we don't have the budget to maybe improve infrastructure. And a lot of times infrastructure and public works, whether it be, like you said, the broadband, or whether it even be a sewer system or whatever, if you can't get those things right, then sometimes it's hard to attract new businesses or corporations to come in and maybe open up something. Is that right?
You're absolutely right. And again, I've seen that firsthand, that budgets are stretched, and by no means do we have the resources to solve and address all of the infrastructure issues in the communities that we serve. But when we are able to provide key investments, and our investments that are ultimately leveraged many times over by private investments, that's really where this works best, because we put that patient capital in where the private investment just isn't willing to take that risk, or the mm-hmm. conditions just aren't there quite yet. But the expectation is when we finance a project or make an investment in a project, it's not just EDA money and then a hope for the best. It's EDA money, EDA investments that ultimately then are designed to attract that private investment, and that's where the jobs are created. That's where the additional revenue can come in to help continue to build up the infrastructure. So our focus, our core focus, is those economically distressed communities. So to the extent that you talked about them having difficulties in sort of putting together the funds, Our money that can ultimately attract additional private money often is the difference between success or failure in many of those communities being able to advance those plans.
We got to take a quick break, but it almost sounds like, as a veteran, it almost sounds like a VA home loan, you know, where you got the guarantee that you say, listen, we, you know, the government's got the back on this right here. We'll put some money in, but we want to bring some other private investors, and we've got some of these guarantees that's going to help people and spur people's interest to say, listen, come on in here. You know, we validate what's going on, and we're going to back this thing up and do whatever we can to get this going.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say there are no guarantees in economic development, but certainly us being able to come in and help assess the lay of the land. And ultimately, these are strategies that are very bottoms-up strategies. So we don't come into a community and dictate what's in their best interest.
Gotcha.
The stakeholders on the ground know their needs, their challenges, their opportunities much better than we do. But to the extent that we can bring some technical expertise or we can help create an environment, again, that doesn't guarantee success, but certainly increases the opportunities and the odds that ultimately private investment will find its way there, jobs will be created, and economic opportunities and conditions will be lifted.
We're talking to Jay Williams. He is a U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development. He is the leader of the Economic Development Administration. You can find them at EDA.gov. He comes with a wide background, being a mayor of Youngstown, Ohio, and working kind of with the White House and working on a number of economic development issues, the auto industry and everything else. He's taken leadership of this organization and really is trying to push economic development down the road under the president's agenda. We're going to keep on talking about EDA, their mission and what they're doing and how they have funding opportunities. If you're out there listening, maybe you're saying, listen, I can use some help, so let me go to EDA. So we're going to find out how they do what they do. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about economic development. That's been an important topic that all of us are concerned about around the nation. We are all trying to make sure that our economy is booming, that jobs are coming back to our society, that everybody is prosperous in the United States of America. And the important dynamic of it is what's the government doing to help out with this? The Economic Development Administration is one of those agencies who has a mission to focus in on economic development. We're talking to Jay Williams. He is a U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development. He's in charge of the EDA. Again, you can find them at EDA.gov. On their website, you can see a number of different things about their initiatives, about funding opportunities, and everything else, and a number of different tools. Jay, you know, we were talking about these investment programs, and we talked about public works, and I look here, you guys got a number of different kind of economic adjustment programs, partnership programs, and kind of trade adjustment. That may be a mouthful, but can you break some of those things down?
Certainly. Well, we talked about our public works program, which helps communities to revitalize, expand, or upgrade the infrastructure necessary to attract private investment. Our partnership planning programs are especially important because there are a network of economic development districts across the country. Those economic development districts consist of local communities, political subdivisions, other stakeholders that are really involved in the day-to-day oversight and facilitation of economic opportunities. So it's important that that expands our reach significantly. We have 6 regional offices, which is great, but it's really that network of economic development districts that are involved in our partnership planning that help us to broaden our reach. You talk about our university centers. A number of communities are benefiting significantly from having universities within the regions, and to the extent that we could help leverage the research, leverage the knowledge, leverage the experience of those universities to assist communities in ways that they otherwise wouldn't have benefited, that's also important.
You know, as you look at this kind of dynamic, I mean, a lot of universities are all over the place, and then most people don't even really know that every city, every county, every state usually has an economic development office. Is that right? I mean, every place has somebody focused in on economic development. Is that true?
That's correct. If not in the city, certainly every region. And that's, I think, goes back to our relationship with our economic development districts, because there are some small urban or rural communities, and we have a specific emphasis on economically distressed communities, both rural and urban. So not every town or village or unincorporated area might have an office focused specifically on economic development, but to the extent that that region has someone or people, multiple individuals focused, that's where we also want to make sure that there are no communities that feel that they are unable to access the Economic Development Administration. So that's why it's important that we focus on regional collaboration. So if it's not a university center, then it's an economic development district. If it's not an economic development district, then we're working with some political subdivision or some nonprofit in many areas of the country, both rural areas and urban areas, where they just don't have the capacity in terms of the staff or the financial resources. We work with nonprofits to make sure that they are able to make use of our program. So it's really an all-encompassing approach. We can't be all things to all people. It's a relatively small federal agency, but it's important that those economically distressed communities, both rural and urban, large and mid-sized and small, understand that they have access to the Economic Development Administration.
You know, I think about this, and even coming from my background, just kind of thinking about this, I went to school at Tuskegee University, and just thinking about these small towns. Some of these towns are purely college towns, university towns, right? But then you have where if you kind of get the anchor of the town kind of built in on economic development, those towns, I think about Auburn, the Auburn University kind of help build up, you know, the town of Auburn because of economic development. Is that where you're kind of going with this whole university partnership?
That's one of the areas. I mean, certainly we see the significant impact that universities can have in small towns that otherwise might not have that anchor. Mm-hmm. So that's where our university centers come into play. But also, we want those universities that might be located in one particular town to also be a benefit to other parts of the region. There are areas of the country. Let me use an example of a small agricultural community, a rural community that doesn't have an Auburn University or a research university located in the immediate proximity. We still want to make sure that a university somewhere in that area or a nonprofit can still benefit from the technical assistance that EDA can provide or the financial investments that EDA can provide. So university centers are one good example, but that's just one part of the puzzle that we try to make sure that all those communities have access to.
You know, when I look at the kind of the trade adjustment assistance for firms and kind of, you know, get that import competition, what is that thing about?
Sure. That's a great point. There are firms across the United States that have been impacted as a result of the global trade. Trade is a good thing. It makes our markets open to other countries, and it makes other countries' markets open or facilitates other countries' markets being open to our companies to export. But the reality is there are some firms that have been adversely impacted by that trade. So our trade adjustment centers across the country work with those firms that have seen a decline in sales or a decrease in market share to figure out what strategies they could employ to help, again, expand their customer base, to help perhaps reach into new markets that they had not been reaching into before. So, again, that's consistent with the President's agenda and the Secretary of Commerce, Secretary Penny Pritzker's agenda, to make sure that local entrepreneurs, local economic regions have an ability to be connected to the global marketplace, to make sure that as we look to expand, it's not just to sell to the next town over, the next state over, or another part of the country, which is good, but there are a number of products and services that are being provided in small communities across the country that would be of interest to global markets across the world. So to the extent that the trade adjustment assistance centers work with those companies that have been adversely impacted to help them figure out better strategies, that's a service that we also offer.
You know, I've always heard that, you know, and maybe myth or not, and maybe you can kind of dispel it, it has always been that dynamic that if it's made in America, it's more expensive, in a, you know, to sell in America. And then everybody's always said, well, I got to go down to, you know, China, I got to go down these other places. And there, of course, there's dynamics of difference of regulations. There's a number of different things you can discuss in that. But is that more kind of a myth dynamic, or in EDA, are you trying to help kind of like say, listen, we can cut this down to help bring the price down so that importing is not, you know, required to import. You can get this right from an American company right down the street, and if the price is going to be the same, maybe it's cheaper.
And again, great point. We're seeing that myth sort of be dissipated more and more as companies that 20 years ago, 15, 10 years ago, were making a decision to take their operations, their manufacturing offshore, into places like China and India and Mexico and so many other places. Many of those companies, or a considerable number of those companies, are really starting to look at the United States for manufacturing once again. When you take into the account transportation costs, mm-hmm. when you take into account political instability, when you take into the account that we still have the strongest system of protecting intellectual property and patents on the face of the planet, the cost of doing business elsewhere has gone up, and the competitive nature of the United States has become even greater. So we're seeing a significant amount of reshoring, and to the extent we can work with communities, and we don't work directly with businesses, but to the extent that we can work with communities to help create an environment when those businesses make that decision, they make that decision to come relocate back here in the United States of America, that provides great opportunities for American citizens. It provides great opportunities for American businesses. So while we are very rarely going to compete dollar to dollar, head to head when it comes to wages, you have to factor into a whole host of other things. And when you factor in those other costs, the cost of doing business here looks more and more appealing. And we've seen companies, both large and small, Fortune 500 companies and significantly smaller companies, make the decision to reshore their production back to the United States, or to maintain and expand the production already here.
You know, we've got to take a quick break. What I do want to do when we come back, though, I saw this interesting program, got the research and evaluation program for economic development practitioners. I thought that was interesting to help them become better in doing their job. And I want to talk about that and much more when we come back. We're talking to Jay Williams. He is the one who is in charge of the Economic Development Administration. He is the leader there. There, you can find him at EDA.gov. Great site. If you're involved in anything economic development in your city, in your county, in your state, or anywhere else, I mean, whether it be a private sector person or whatever the case is, if you're involved in economic development and looking in at your area and want to improve things, you probably want to use some of their tools, maybe look at some of their funding opportunities. He is a U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development, and he's in charge of EDA. We're going to continue this conversation about economic development when we come back. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about economic development. We've been having a great conversation with Jay Williams. He's the one who's in charge of the Economic Development Administration. You can find them at EDA.gov, at EDA.gov. He is a U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development. And they're doing a number of different things. They're helping to kind of spur economic growth around the country with a number of different kind of programs, multi-agency initiatives that we'll get into, and a number of different investment priorities that we'll talk about very shortly. But they're the ones who are really trying to get our country back, you know, with a number of different agencies and also the private sector, but get our country back in being the strongest country economically, more competitive in the economic market internationally, the global competitive dynamics, and really kind of get us going again and making sure that every American has a job and has an opportunity to grow. Jay, when we were talking about this dynamic of these practitioners, economic development practitioners, how you have a research and national technical assistance program. What is that about?
Our research and national technical assistance program is really our participation in thought leadership and really trying to engage national partners, and we work with a number of national partners, whether it's the IEDC, which is the International Economic Development Council, NATO, which is the National Association of Development Organizations. These organizations have members who are actual practitioners on the ground. So to the extent that we work directly with them, we work with some of the leading think tanks and economic development institutions and universities across the country to really facilitate best practices, the sharing of best practices, the sharing of research that would be relevant to communities across the country. Again, no single individual organization has a monopoly on the knowledge and the tools that are relevant to economic development. So to the extent we can facilitate best practices and the engagement across the broad spectrum of economic development, that's what we do with our research and national technical assistance program.
You know, Jay, we talk about best practices. Is there any, and I mean, we don't have to put anybody on the spot if you don't want to, but is there anyone who you say, listen, this area has it right? I mean, you know, we've seen some great success stories because these guys are doing best practices. They're putting some things in place that is really starting to, you know, take a place that had maybe not been on the rise, or may have been affected by disaster or economic disaster or natural disaster, or whatever the case is, but now they're back on the rise.
Boy, that's a great question, and there are just so many. I'd get in trouble if I named individually. I would suggest is on our website, we like to highlight success stories that we've been involved in, and that's just, again, it's a fraction of the success stories that are probably out there. But from areas in the South where we've invested in communities to help them really facilitate and grow their manufacturing. I was just at a meeting a few weeks ago at the Southern Governors Association, and there's a real push by governors in the South to really continue to build the momentum with respect to manufacturing and economic development. We've worked in the Northeast with a number of communities to rebuild the economy that was built on textiles and manufacturing. The Midwest, we talked about that, the diversification. Out in Silicon Valley, there's a great example that before Silicon Valley was a thriving technology cluster that we realize it as today. Back in the 1990s, the industry was facing competitive challenges from across the world, and EDA invested a couple of million dollars in a joint venture development program that to this day is still providing perspective and input to grow the success of that industry there. So there are just any number of examples, and our website team does a great job in highlighting some of those, and I think that's the best testimony, is not for us to point to our successes, but to see the stakeholders on the ground, for those communities to validate that this public investment has been leveraged many times over, has created jobs, has provided better economic opportunity. I think that's the best thing we can do, is allow them to tell that story.
You know, I'm looking at the case studies, and I think this is where you're talking about people can find this kind of stuff on the case studies area. There's a number of different things. Nashville, Tennessee, an ideal village, you know, for New Orleans.
Exactly.
In Baltimore, there's certain things that's going on. In Georgia, there's things that's going on. So I'm seeing, you know, all this investment that's going on, you know, Atlanta and Louisiana and other places like that, in terms of getting these things out. Even the Ideal Village just kind of, you know, caught me. Are you guys open to, like, you know, creative ideas? Like, I mean, if somebody has a creative proposal to say, listen, I need to get funded, is that something you guys take a look at?
Well, certainly. Again, ideas that are emanating from local communities, they do need to be consistent with our investment programs. They need to be consistent with our investment priorities. But again, we at EDA don't have a monopoly on what's in the best interests or what are the best opportunities for local communities. And to the extent that we also have an office that focuses on innovation and entrepreneurship, and those innovators, those entrepreneurs, those ideas that people come up with sometimes on the back of the napkin, there's a lot of work that has to be done. And by no means am I saying, you know, just because you have a good idea, you sketch it out, all of a sudden you end up with a check for, you know, several hundred thousand dollars. Exactly. It's much more complex than that. But our Office of Innovation and Entrepreneurship really is about working with local innovators who ultimately may be directed toward one of the local incubators. And if that idea is proven to be, you know, has a proof of concept behind it, they may then ultimately go into an accelerator and help bring that idea to market. So that level of creativity is really what has been the success of so many of the companies that we are hear about today, and also whether it becomes ultimately a Fortune 500 company or it remains a small business that provides a good or service to their local community. That level of creativity is necessary and needed, and to the extent we can appropriately promote that through that office, we do that.
Right. You know, I'm looking at the multi-agency initiatives. I mean, you're working with a number of different agencies in the federal government to really get some things going. I'm seeing this job and innovation accelerator challenges and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, talk to us about these multi-agency initiatives that you guys are working on.
Sure. The multi-agency initiatives are an important opportunity for us to leverage the other expertise and resources across the federal government. And when you talk about whether it's the Department of Transportation, Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Environment and Environmental Protection Agency, each of those agencies offer resources and a level of expertise that, when brought together, really offers an opportunity to be that much more impactful. So to the extent that EDA partners with those agencies and provides opportunities for communities then to get really more bang for their buck, we found a great deal of success. And again, you pointed out a couple of the Make It America Challenge, really encouraging communities to facilitate or create conditions where the companies who are already there will expand instead of choosing to outsource. When we talk about, and that focuses on both urban communities and rural communities. When you talk about our I-6 challenge, that encourages and rewards innovative, groundbreaking ideas, that, which you just asked about a few minutes ago, that really accelerate those ideas from concept into commercialization, job creation, and economic growth. So to the extent that we cannot continue as a federal government to operate in silos. The president has made it very clear from day one that the more that we break down those silos, the more we provide cross-collaboration of resources when appropriate, technical expertise when appropriate, that provides greater opportunities for economic success in the communities that we serve.
You know, I mean, being a mayor and kind of coming from that experience, there was a lot of people who talked about kind of in order to get Americans back to work, there was going to have to be required a lot of job training, you know, especially to kind of maybe get people into manufacturing and other things like that. I mean, did you see that in Ohio? I mean, are you seeing that nationwide that, you know, because some people will say the jobs are there, I just don't have enough trained candidates. Is that something that is also being invested in? And do you see that?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that point up. And that has been the skills development has been a priority of the president and of the secretary. As a matter of fact, for the first time in the history of the Department of Commerce, Secretary Penny Pritzker has made that skills gap, the workforce skills development, a priority. And she is working with Secretary of Labor Tom Perez to really make sure that we are doing and focusing on training that is relevant to the needs of the employers, not just training for training's sake. And unfortunately, for too many instances in the past, there have been lots of training programs, but those training programs weren't tied directly to the needs of, that the employers had right now and to the needs that the employers were going to have in the foreseeable future. So I've talked to dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of employers who have said that we have job opportunities open right now, and these are job opportunities that pay a very competitive wage, that provide benefits, that provide great stability and opportunity, but we don't have the candidates, or the candidates that we are being presented with don't have the necessary skills. So to the extent that we are making smart investments, that we are working directly with our industry partners to have stackable credentials, credentials that when an individual goes through a training program, they are recognized by that industry and are more employable the minute they step out of that program, we're seeing a great deal of success there. And again, that's the priority of the president, a priority of Secretary Pritzker and her working with the Department of Labor and Secretary Tom Perez to really make sure that we are being responsive and proactive. So the precious dollars and resources that are invested in skills development are being put to great use. And as a result, it's providing people an opportunity to be gainfully employed. And again, that goes for incumbent workers who are in an industry that they are needing to make a transition from. It goes to underemployed workers who, again, aren't really at their full earning capacity. But it also goes to our young people who are coming out of high school. College is still a very viable option for a number of individuals, but it isn't for everyone.
Right.
But you're going to need something more than a high school degree. So to the extent that young people who say, I'm more eager or ready or prepared to go into the workforce as a result of instead of going to college, and that's a choice, a legitimate choice that a number of people make, we want to make sure that they're coming out with those skills that allow them to be immediately gainfully employed.
We're talking to Jay Williams. He is the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development. He is the leader of the Economic Development Administration. You can find him at EDA.gov. We're talking about economic development. We're talking about putting Americans back to work. We're talking about getting the economy going again. And this is just one of the agencies who's doing this. We're going to go into our last segment when we come back. We're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about economic development. We're talking about one of the federal agencies who are focused in on economic development, the Economic Development Administration. You can find them at EDA.gov. They're one of the, you know, key agencies who's working on the Department of Commerce, really focusing in on really getting the country, you know, innovative projects going, getting economic development projects that spur entrepreneurship, that spur jobs being created, that spur a global competitiveness. Those things are going on right now. Jay Williams, he is a U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development. He's on the phone right now with us, and we've been talking about the agency. So if you miss any part, you definitely got to go back and check it out. Jay, investment priorities of the agency. Yes, you guys got a number of investment programs that's going on, but six priorities. I see the collaborative regional innovation. I see the private and public partnerships. Talk about some of these investment priorities.
Sure. Let me just hit on a couple of them. Sure. First and foremost, I think the number one thing to convey is that we are focused by way of our mission, by way of our enabling legislation, on economically distressed and underserved communities. The vast majority of our investments are directed there. Now, there is some flexibility that we have under a different enabling legislation, but economically distressed and underserved communities is really the key of our investment priorities. Following that, as you mentioned, collaborative regional innovation. Economies don't exist neatly within the borders of a city, a county, or a state. So to the extent that we see communities collaborate to figure out ways to attract private investment, to overcome challenges or take advantage of opportunities, that's also a big priority of ours. You talked about public-private partnerships. As I've said throughout our discussion, Derek, that the government isn't in the business of solely creating jobs or creating jobs by actions that we take. There are policies that we have, there are investments that we make that shape that environment, but ultimately it's that private, it's the partnership with the private sector, either through the knowledge that the private sector and experience that the private sector can bring, and ultimately the investment that the private sector brings. That's also one of our investment priorities. And then I'll hit on the national strategic priorities, and we talked about that just a few minutes ago. The fact that the president, the secretary of commerce, and the secretary of labor have all identified, and obviously it was at the president's direction, that we focus on making sure that we are developing the skills of the American worker. That's a national strategic priority. So to the extent that we're working with local communities and that's a need that they have identified and an opportunity that they have identified, that also makes those investments consistent with that. So all of the priorities of the Economic Development Administration are aligned with the priorities of the Department of Commerce, of which we are a bureau. It's great to have Secretary Pritzker at the helm of the Department of Commerce. She is an accomplished businesswoman herself, so she understands firsthand about job creation in the private sector. She understands firsthand about the need to make sure that the workers have the skills that are in demand today and will be in demand for the foreseeable future. So to the extent that we at EDA continue to work with local communities, local stakeholders, in a very bottoms-up approach, that will be the ultimate definition of our effectiveness.
Jay, talk to us about, you know, I see the 2014 Economic Development Assistance Program. Talk about some of the funding opportunities that your organization has, your agency has right now.
Sure. The programs that we offer fall under the categories we've talked about, whether it's public works, technical assistance, partnership planning. And the way it works is it really works through our six regional offices. And that's the strength of EDA. We have the headquarters office here in Washington, D.C., but we have six regional offices: in Atlanta regional office, Austin, Texas regional office, Chicago, Denver, Philadelphia, and Seattle. Within those offices, we have professionals who really are on the ground helping to educate and to facilitate funding opportunities with local communities. So local stakeholders, economic development officers, work with our regional offices to figure out which of the investment programs might fit their needs. And again, there's no guarantee that there's a process that has to go through. We have to evaluate the needs and the application, but it's really our staff out in the regional offices that facilitate moving an idea from perhaps a concept to developing an application to ultimately perhaps receiving EDA funding. And again, that goes from everything from public works to technical assistance to partnership planning. So it's really an opportunity for us to see what the needs are on the ground, right, and then figure out if one of our investment programs might help fit that bill.
You know, when we talk about economically distressed, can you define that a little bit for us, Jay? So if somebody's listening and they say, is my community economically distressed, what would that category fall under?
Generally, our criteria for economically distressed has to do with having a higher than a national average of unemployment or a lower than a national average of a per capita income.
Okay.
So those are the broad categories. And again, there are certain caveats depending on the level of distress. There are certain caveats depending on we're dealing with an Indian nation. You know, there are additional criteria that we can apply, but it really has to do with the per capita income of the area and the unemployment rate being a percentage above or below the national average with some additional caveats.
Definitely. We're almost getting to that time, Jay, but when this disaster recovery, I mean, you know, we as we get back into hurricane season and all these other things, there's always something, tornado alleys or something like that. When you talk about disaster recovery, what is your agency doing for that?
EDA has for a number of years played a key role in disaster recovery. So when people think of disasters, first and foremost, you may often think of FEMA. FEMA being the immediate responder, helping people to get out of harm's way, responding there with the necessary supplies to make sure that, again, people are recovering from and surviving whatever that natural disaster or man-made disaster might be. The Economic Development Administration really comes in after that, and we're there to work with the community to figure out what the longer-term economic recovery strategy is, because after the flood waters have receded, after the tornado has passed, after the hurricane has subsided, and people are first and foremost, we have worked with them to, we as the federal government has worked with them and the local authorities to take account, life and well-being of human beings and those things, which is a priority. Then the rebuilding of the local economy, because the shops and the businesses that have been impacted, someone or some entity has to figure out how to work with them to reopen their doors so people can be gainfully employed. So the supplies and the things necessary for the long-term viability of that community continue to be there or taken in consideration. And that's where the Economic Development Administration is there for the after the immediate responders have gone for the long haul. Also to build resiliency. How can communities, knowing that natural disasters are going to continue to occur, we don't know when, we don't know where, but we know they will occur, how can we help communities be prepared so they have an economic plan that if a natural disaster happens after the first responders have gone, these are the steps that we would take to get our community's economy back online. So it's an important role that we play. It's one that, obviously we would like to play less of, but life being what it is, those natural disasters are going to be there, and to the extent that they come, EDA will continue to partner with the communities to help them in that economic recovery.
I always wish we had more time, because resiliency is also a very, very big topic that a lot of communities are talking about right now to kind of ensure that when something does happen, that they can bounce back quickly and get back on their feet. We've been talking to Jay Williams. Thank you, Jay, for really kind of providing the insight on the agency and everything else. We'd love to have you back.
I appreciate it, Derek. I look forward to a future opportunity to discuss this with you and your audience.
Definitely, without question. Jay Williams, he is a U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development. He's in charge of the Economic Development Administration, EDA.gov. Again, EDA.gov is where you can find their agencies. There's a number of different tools on there. There's funding opportunities, case studies. There's a number of different things that you can benefit from. If you're an economically distressed community, you definitely want to be taking a look at this website in order to help you get back on your feet. This has been Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. George from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We will see you next time.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.